We've been dividing up Sichas Aran Os Nun Aleph. The first piece we learned about how a person can be so easily deceived by the world and to think that his money is coming with him when it's not. Yesterday we learned how a person, if he wants to truly serve Hashem, is limited in his physical ability to do for Hashem, but nothing stops him from wanting to do. Rabbi Nachman said, Ha'ikar hu ha-ratzon. He explains what that means, to have an emistic ratzon. Today we come to just a couple of short lines in the next little paragraph, and I think you'll see, start to see maybe how some of these, you know, paragraphs that begin, Gam, Rabbeinu also said, Rabbi Nachman also said, you start to see how they're connected one to another. So says Rabbi Nachman, Gam chachmos einam klum. How would you translate chachmos? Rabbi Nachman was a pretty smart Jew. Rabbi Nachman was a pretty wise individual. What does he mean by chachmos einam klum? Okay, maybe. Overthinking. Okay, let's translate it as sophistication. As in the story of the Chacham and the Tam, one of Rabbi Nachman's famous tales, which is often translated in English as the simpleton and the sophisticate. Sophistication, being too smart for our own good. Chachmos einam klum. Your brain can get you into a lot of trouble, especially if you don't keep it in check. Rak tmimus upshitus. That's a long story. Rather, tmimus upshitus. A Jew has to learn to live his life with wholesomeness and simplicity. Now, that doesn't mean you should be naive. Gam betmimus asur lios shote. When it comes to your tmimus, you shouldn't be stupid. When Yaakov is described as an ish tam, Yaakov is a very clever person. Yaakov, in fact, is able to trick his father to get the brachos, which is justified, of course. I'm not saying it in a negative way. But Esav says, that's why he's called Yaakov. He's such a trickster. And Yaakov figures out how to trick, so to speak, to sneak away from Beis Lavan. So Yaakov, who's an ish tam, tam doesn't mean a simple fool. Tam means a person who's awesomely simple in their wholesomeness. As Rav Weinberger said when he was still here last year, and we miss him very much. But if you remember a few times, he mentioned before Pesach that by the tzaddikim, the Tam is their favorite son, not the Chacham. The Tam is the greatest of the four sons who come to the Pesach Seder. Right? Echad Chacham, Echad Rasha, Echad Tam, Echad Sheinu Yodei Lishol. Tam doesn't have to be some goofy kid. Tam could be a person who's so deeply connected, and he maintains a certain simple awareness of God. So says Rabbi Nachman, you don't have to be an idiot. Aval afal pi kein chachmos einam tzrichim kla. But you don't need sophistication. To be a good Jew, you don't need to be sophisticated. During the Spanish expulsion, the expulsion from Spain, so Rav Yosef Yaivitz is one of the Gerushei Svarad. He writes that Rabbi Yisrael brings this in the Agra de Pirka, from a sefer called Or HaChaim, Yosef Yaivitz, the Chosid Yaivitz, as he was known, his commentary on Pirkei Avos. Yosef Yaivitz, who left, he got kicked out of Spain. He said, I saw with my own eyes that the simple Jews kept their faith, and the big philosophers, when it was a question of converting to a different religion or being, you know, removed from your home, or God forbid, punished with suffering or death, I saw that it was the simple Jews who clung to their faith. In his language, he says, the uneducated women and children, as opposed to those who had the big university degrees and had all sorts of sophisticated understandings of God and Judaism. He said, those Jews struggled much more. But people of Amuna Pshuta, people with simple faith, that I'm Jewish because I'm Jewish, it's part of my Yerusha from the Avos, it's my spiritual DNA, it just is. What's the gematria of Amuna Pshuta? What's the gematria of Amuna Pshuta? How much is Amuna? Amuna is 102. Amuna is 102. How much is Pshuta? Amuna Pshuta. Pshuta is 400. Okay, so that's 502. Right? Emunah Pshuta is 502. Anyone know what 502 is? 502 comes up in a lot of different places. 502, it's a good number to know. It says, Ein Simcha Ela B'Basar V'Yayin. Right? Ein Simcha Ela B'Basar V'Yayin. Real Simcha requires Basar and Yayin. There's a major secret in that phrase of Chazal. Basar and Yayin. How much is Yayin? Yayin is 70, right? So Basar and Yayin is a secret code for saying Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and David. Let's start off with the easy part. How long did David HaMelech live? 70 years, Gematria Yayin. How long did Avraham live? 175. Yitzchak? 180. Yaakov? 147. Very good. So what's the Gematria of 175, 180, and 147? The years of the Avos, the lives of the Avos. 175, 180, and 147. 502 is going to your basar. So ein simcha ele b'basar v'yayin. Basar is 502 is the years of the Avos. And David, now you'll say, what do the Avos have to do with David? So we mentioned those who came to the Yosher Divrei Emes here last week, which Mir Tashem will be on tonight again at 8 o'clock. Right, David is the fourth wheel of the chariot, so to speak. Right, that Hashem is carried through this world through Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and David. It's the fourth wheel of the Merkava. So he pointed out a remez last week that Avram plus Yitzchak plus Yaakov plus David is gematria Merkava Shlema, the complete chariot. So Basar and Yayin and Ram is too. So 502 Amuna Pshuta, as we're learning now, Amuna Pshuta is gematria 502, which is gematria of the years of the three of us. Because that's where we get our Amuna Pshuta from. Why do I believe? Because I'm a child of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, period. Avram was the one who had to go be a philosopher and go figure it all out. I don't have to figure anything out. Gam chachmos enum klum, says Rabbi Nachman. I don't need any chachma. I just need to be a wholesome, simple Jew. And if I think too much, I can get myself into trouble. I don't have to be an idiot. I shouldn't be an idiot. Asur lios shote, he says. Don't be an idiot. Right? But you also don't need to be sophisticated. There's a way to be a very successful Jew in this world with wholesome simplicity. Oh, that's so naive. Well, if it's going to help you to serve God better, then I guess that choice of being naive is actually a very good choice. Yes. Right, so what exactly does it mean to be a tam? What does it mean? Right? Is it mean unquestioning? Rabbi Nachman has a famous piece about questioning Hashem. So I don't know that it necessarily means unquestioning. But there's a way to question where I'm exploring for information. Right? And there's a way of questioning where I'm challenging the very core principles. And that is very dangerous. If I'm trying to be sophisticated for the sake of being sophisticated, just realize wisdom is power, but it's also it's a dangerous thing. And then Rabbi Nachman always said, you got to just take the simple path with things. So take, for example, what did we learn yesterday? A person has to have a ratzon. And we learned that you should have a ratzon not in a theoretical sense, but your desire should what? Should lead to action, to the best of your ability. So look at this Torah from Likutei Maran in source number 2, and then we'll call on Yosef Menachem. In Likutei Maran, in Tinyana means the second section, it's divided into two sections, okay, in Torah Kuf Yud, in the 110th piece. Shemati shish echad shalos, so keitzad hua bechira, someone once asked Rabbi Nachman, keitzad hua bechira, how does free will work? Heishev lo b'pshitas, Rabbi Nachman, who again was very philosophical on one level, but maintained utter simplicity on the other level, Rabbi Nachman said, I'll tell you, how does free will work? It's actually very easy to explain. Really? The Rambam wrote in Hilchos Tshuva, chapter 5, halacha 5, that it's one of the hardest topics ever. It's an endlessly deep topic. How does free will work if God knows everything? But Rabbi Nachman says, how does free will work? It's very easy. Habechira hu biyara adam bipshitas. Free will means, how do you translate free will? How do you explain free will? Free will. Your ability to choose. Im rotza osa. If you want to do something, do it. Vim eino rotza eino osa. And if you don't want to do it, don't do it. What's your ratzon? You want to do it? So do it. What do you desire to do? Go choose it. You want to choose to do that? You want to choose to learn Shas? So go learn Shas. You want to choose to eat cheeseburgers? So go eat cheeseburgers. Bechira. What are you making it complicated for? Free will means Unculus on free will is free will. The Rashi on free will is free will. What do you mean? If you want to do it, go do it. Says Rabbi Nassan, V'rashamti dos. You know why I wrote this down? Seems like almost a ridiculous conversation. You know why I wrote this down? Ki hu nitzrach ma'ot. It's very necessary. I wrote this down not because I'm just jotting down every word that came out of Rabbi Nachman's mouth. He was saying something very deep. He was responding to the deepest topic in the Rambam with the utmost simplicity of, what do you mean? What do you mean? Why are you making it complicated? Why are you overcomplicating everything? Ki kama b'nei adam nevuchim b'zeh ma'od. There are many people who are very confused, right? Nevuch, their ways are what? How do we translate the mora nevuchim? Perplexed. There are people who are perplexed. Machmas sheheim morgalim b'maaseyim uvedarcheyim minu'ureyim ma'od. There are people who have set themselves out on a particular path. They've accustomed themselves to certain things from their youth. And they think the ability to choose differently is just like not available to them. They think, I can't choose anymore. What do you mean? I'm addicted to my life that I've chosen up to this point. I can't choose differently. They're not able to change their behaviors, as we'll talk a lot more about tomorrow in Sichos Aran. But it's not true. Bechira means bechira. Bechira means God has given you the ability at any moment of your life to choose. You want to choose to be a tzaddik today? Even if you were a Russia yesterday? Good, so choose it. Go for it. Why not? I'm not such a good davener. Does that prevent me from having a really good davening? Because I've labeled myself as not a good davener? Go choose to have a great mincha today. Why not? Man has the ability to choose whatever he wants, whenever he wants. What you want to do, you are able to do. That's the derech of tmimus and pshitus. Not to complicate things. I want to serve Hashem, I can serve Hashem. I don't fully understand how God works. So what? Who told you need to figure it all out? The Navi says you're not going to understand God. So just serve Hashem. Walk in the footsteps of the Avos. Emunah Pshuta, Gematria, Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, the lives of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Okay, Joe, what do you want to say? No? Canceled? Okay. Now, in case you're doubting whether or not this is like a true Torah value or this is a Rabbi Nachman value, in case, God forbid, you think that there's some gap between the two, I want to just show you some beautiful psukim that highlight this very quickly. First of all, when Avraham Avinu gets his bris milah, and I apologize, I left Hashem's name on the sheet, so please take care of this sheet properly or give it back to me. It says in source number 3 in Parshas Lech Lecha, Avram is 99 years old. Vayera Hashem al Avram. Vayomer elav ani kel shakai. I am God. Hisalech lefanai veheye samim. You know what happens when you get a bris milah? Veheye samim. You become a person of tmimus, of wholesomeness. It's a mitzvah that you do without any thinking, typically. Avram was 99 years old and a big philosopher when he got his bris milah. But usually an 8-day-old kid, right, doesn't have much say in whether or not he's going to get a bris milah. Doesn't really understand what's happening to him. It's mamish, a mitzvah of what? Of tmimus, of pshitus. It's a simple, simple mitzvah. It's a complicated mitzvah, right? But it's a simple mitzvah in the sense that you don't overthink it. It's probably the only mitzvah that you did in your whole life with that degree of sincerity. To do such a big mitzvah like bris milah and to do with such sincerity of an 8-day-old child who doesn't even realize what he's going through, that's tmimus. Yaakov Avinu is described in next week's parsha as Yaakov Avinu, who were named for, we're not called B'nai Avram or B'nai Yitzhak, we're called B'nai Yaakov, B'nai Yisrael. Yaakov was an Ish Tam Yoshev Olam. He was an Ish Tam, he was a wholesome person. Right? Shalem, the certain shlemus that a person has when they have this midah of pshitos and tmimus. Or how about the famous pasuk in Shoftim? Tamim tiyeh, Hashem Elokecha. What more does God ask of us other than to what? To be tamim. To be wholesome, to be innocent, to be simple. And lastly, just one more example for today in Shir HaShirim, Ani Yashen of Alibi Er, in the fifth parak. I am asleep, but my heart is awake. Kol dodi dofek, pischi li achosi rayasi yonasi. Tamasi, samasi. What does it mean, tamasi? Says the Ibn Ezra, Tamasi HaTmima Shali. You're my wholesome one. Hashem calls us His wholesome one. And the unbelievable expressions of love between the two lovers of Shir HaShirim, which is of course a parable for our relationship with God, Hashem says, part of your beauty is what? Is your wholesomeness, is your simplicity, is your innocent sweetness. You don't overcomplicate things. We love each other because we just do. I'll show you a nice Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says that there are six things that a Jew needs to think about all the time, and they're hinted to in the first word of the Torah, Bereishis. Vilna Gaon is quoted in the Adaras Eliyahu, it's the Vilna Gaon Sefer, very difficult Sefer to learn, but these couple lines are actually readable. Vilna Gaon says in source number 7, very first section on Bereishis, Gamuru mazim bo shisha ikarim la'avodas habore. Look at the word Bereishis. Beis, Reish, Aleph, Shin, Yud, Tav stands for six principles of Jewish faith. Essential principles of Jewish living. What is the Beis? According to the Vilna Gaon, the first letter of the Torah says you have to what? Have? Bitachon. The Beis is Bitachon. Reish, Ratzon habore. That's a fascinating call by the Vilna Gaon. Ratzon habore. Ratzon habore. It means that a Jew has to ask himself at all times, and there's psukim in both Torah and Nevi'im and Ksuvim that highlight this point. I have to ask myself, not only am I within the letter of the law, but am I really fulfilling the ratzon habore? Am I doing what Hashem wants, or am I just playing the game? Am I in tune with the ratzon habore? It's a big topic, not for now. If you want to see a beautiful piece on that, you can look in of Usher Weiss's Minchas Usher on Devarim, either in Kiseitze or Kisavo, he has a beautiful piece called Ratzon Hashem, and it explains very clearly this concept of not only, again, doing what the Torah says in terms of the letter of the law, but being sensitive to the overarching principles of what God wants. Okay, what's the Aleph of Bereishis? Beis Reish Aleph. Aleph is Ahava. Shin, Shtika. Knowing when to talk and knowing when to be quiet. Amazing. Also, that's one of the six things you're going to highlight. Shtika. Knowing when to be quiet. Yud, Yira. And then, of course, the Tav is Torah. And he says, it's hinted to in the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim that we just mentioned. Because what does it say in Shir HaShirim? Pischili, Achosi, Rayasi, Yonasi, Tamasi. Shiroishi nimlatal kvutzosai resise laila. Says the Vilna Gaon, take a look. Achosi, there's your aleph. Yeah? Rayasi, there's the resh. Yonasi, there's the yud. Samasi, there's the tuf. Shiroishi is the shin. Where's the beis? You have almost every, you have reshes, but you don't have bereshes. Where's the beis? So he says, you have the letters, rashi tevos, you have reshes. V'habez, and the bez is what? Pischili. And the pasuk says, Pischili, open up for me, that alludes to the bez. There's a couple different ways I think you could say what the Vilna Gaon is saying, but he sees in this phrase, Pischili, achosi, rayasi, yonasi, tamasi, shiroshi, is rashi tevos, bereshis. So which one corresponds to the one that we're talking about today? Right? Torah corresponds to tamasi. Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Alalim. Totally new way to understand it, based on this Vilna Gaon. Right? It seems like a contradiction. Yaakov is the one of the Avos who's most known for his scholarship, and yet Yaakov is called what? An Ishtam. Isn't that a contradiction? Doesn't being successful in Torah mean being a scholar? And what we're learning here is that what? And no. That the tuf of Tamasi, which means what? Wholesomeness, simplicity, pshitus, corresponds to the tuf of Bereishis, which the Vilna Gaon tells us is Torah. Which means that to be successful in Torah, it's not about being the smartest guy in the Beis Medrash, not even close. Sometimes the smartest guys in the Beis Medrash are the guys who end up the farthest from Torah. It's the person who's honest and sincere and wholesome and simple who ends up being an Eved Hashem that you look at and you say, wow, I want to be like that guy. Yeah. Torah Hashem Tamima. That's right. Means that Hashem's Torah is perfect, but it also means that Hashem's Torah is meant to be, there's a simplicity to it, beautiful. It's a beautiful raya ledavar. And clear proof, Torah is Hashem Tamima. Right? That the tuf of Torah, as the Vilna Gaon says, corresponds to Tamasi. The Torah is Tamima. It's not arbitrarily found that they start with the letter tuf. It's there's a reason for it. Okay? So we're striving to be what? We're trying to be wholesome and simple Jews. Sometimes we feel bad for ourselves. You know, I wish I was smarter. I wish I understood things deeper. But there's such a beauty that comes from a Jew who's able to serve Hashem in an honest and sincere way. And he's just trying his best. He's not embarrassed to walk into the Beis Medrash, even if he has the sefer that other people will scoff at and say, "What? That's what you're up to? You're sitting there practicing your Aleph Beis. You don't know Aleph Beis. I'm sitting here learning a tshuva from Rabbi Akiva Eiger. I don't care. I'm an honest, simple Jew who wants to be close to Hashem. That's all that matters to me. Each person, Basher Husham, wherever he's holding, whatever he's up to be proud of my wholesome and simple relationship with Hashem. Rabbi Nachman writes in another piece in Likutei Maran, in Tinyana, in the second section, Torah Yotes, in source 8, Iker HaTachlis VaShleimus. If you want to have what? Shleimus in your life. You want to have success in your life. You want to be complete. You want to be a completely successful Jew. So how do you do that? Says Rabbi Nachman, the Iker, the main way to achieve perfection is what? La'avod Hashem b'tmimus gamor, to serve Hashem b'lishum chachmos klal, without any sophistication whatsoever. Don't complicate things. I just want to look for a second. How does Uncle Ish translate Yaakov Ish Tam? I think Uncle Ish translates Yaakov Ish Tam. Sorry, Yaakov Ish Tam. Here we go. Yaakov Gvar Shalim. Yaakov Gvar Ish Gvar Shalim. Shin Lamed Yud Mem. Right? Complete. Tam doesn't mean simple. Tam means complete. That's what Rabbi Nachman's saying here. If you want to have Shleimus in your life, so then you have to have Tmimus in your life. You have to have Pshitos in your life. How does it work? This is why Yaakov, you know, corresponds to the Sukkah. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov correspond to the three regalim. Avram is Pesach, Yitzchak is Shavuos, Yaakov is Sukkos. Sukkos, of course, is the mitzvah. When you go into the Sukkah, you do it shlim, you do it with your whole body. So it's shalim like that. But there's also a remez. The chida is a remez. How does it go? Shlim is gematria 380. So how does it work? The dimensions of the Sukkah? Maybe it's... I think it's like this. Right? What's the gematria of Sukkah? Let's try it. I might mess this up. I apologize. Let's try it for a second, though. What's the gematria of Sukkah? 91. Right? What do all the Sfarim say about 91? What's 91? 91 is Hashem's name, the way it's written and the way it's pronounced. How is it written? Yudke Vavke is 26. How do we pronounce it? Ado, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, and Yud. Right? 65. Together, that makes 91 is Sukkah. Okay? It's also Amen. When you say Amen, what you're saying is I'm kind of aligning the way that God's name is written and the way that God's name is pronounced. So let's try this for a second. Let's line up, let's put Yurke Vavke, don't write it down because then it's shameless, but just think for a second. Imagine, take Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey, and then put it on top of Aleph and Dalet and Nun and Yud. And then multiply it, the first letter times the first letter, the second letter times the second letter, the third times the third, and the fourth times the fourth. Let's see if that works. You know what I'm saying? Imagine Yudke Vavke written on top of Aleph, Dalet, Nun, and Yud. And then multiply Yud times Aleph. So how much is Yud times Aleph? 10. How much is Hey times Dalet? 20. How much is Vav, what do I have to? Vav times Nun is how much? Is 300. And lastly, Yud times Hey is 50. Yeah, it's 380. It works. That's what the Chida says. The Chida says when you interweave the two names of Hashem, you take the way Hashem's name is written, the way it's spelled, and you tie them together by multiplying them. That is a real thing in Gematria. It's not such a common thing to do, but it is a real thing. The Chida, the great Tzvardi Chacham from 300 years ago, says, what do you get? 380, which is Gematria what? Shlim. Yaakov Ishtam. Says Uncle Is, Yaakov is a Gvar Shalim. Just Yud Kei Vav Kei, an Aleph and Dalet and Nun Yud. Just do the first letter times the first letter, the second letter times the second letter, the third letter times the third letter. So again, the point I'm trying to make is, I'm realizing now that that's another reason why Yaakov Avinu corresponds to Sukkos. Right? Because Yaakov is an Ish Tam, which is an Ish Shalim, and the Sukkah, the dimensions of the Sukkah sort of is Shalim. But Shalim means something you do with your whole body. Sukkah is one of the two mitzvahs that the Vilna Gaon says you do with your whole body. Being in Eretz Yisrael and sitting in the Sukkah are both all full body mitzvahs. But again, it's a wholesomeness, it's a completeness. Right? Again, when a person is too much of a philosopher, there's a part of him that he says, I can't go all in on my belief in God because I have too many questions. He may keep Shabbos, he may keep kosher, he may daven, but there's a part of him that says, but my question is still keeping me a little bit on the outside. When a person surrenders with a tmimus and a pshitas, he can go all in. He can immerse himself fully in God. Belishum chachmas klal. Says Rabbi Nachman, ki yesh mechakrim sh'omrim, there are mechakrim. What's a mechaker? It's more of a philosopher than a scoffer, right? There's a philosopher, a person who investigates, mechaker, a person who's inquisitive. So there are philosophers who say, she'ikra tachlis fe'olam haba hu rak ledas kol davar kamoshiho. They think that what? That olam haba is understanding everything, trying to grasp everything. I saw a comment from a self-proclaimed atheist scientist recently, where he said that basically everything that, you know, that the ancient world called supernatural, it was just a matter of time until science figured out that there's nothing supernatural about it. You know, so everything from like the sun to stars to having a seizure, all these things, like, no, now we know, we got all those things figured out. So there's really nothing left that's, you know, actually supernatural. There's nothing left that's supernatural. It's just a matter of time until we figure things out. So there are some philosophers who feel that the goal is to figure everything out. You go and lay da kochav kamoshu, to understand the star as it is. Lay da mahuso. Uvne ma ome b'makomahu. Understand how the universe functions and all these things. Kiesh maschil umuskal v'seichel. Dainu akoach ha-maschil v'seichel ba'atzma v'davar ha-muskal. V'zeo atachas v'olam haba etzlam. That's their olam haba. To have a scientific breakthrough is their olam haba. Although the honest scientist will admit that every time I discover something, I have a million more questions about the next layer. So it's an endless pursuit of a wisdom that we can't understand because lo machshav osai machshav osechem. Says Rabbi Nachman in the bottom paragraph on page 1 of Alba Emes etzaleinu ikir hasagas hatachlis hurak al yedei amuna umitzvos maisios. A Jew doesn't base his success on how much knowledge he amasses. It's funny, we live in an ironic time. The fact that you could Google anything strengthens and weakens our amuna. It strengthens our amuna because there's no one who has the monopoly on wisdom anywhere, right? There's just like so much information out there that, you know, a person who has expertise in something, well, I can also become an expert in the next half hour of just like reading articles. I can get the right articles and the right information like fast. So I don't need to find the expert to talk to, someone who dedicated his life to studying this topic. That knowledge is available to anyone and everyone with decent Wi-Fi. Yeah? So in a certain sense, it takes away, right? It tears down that notion of like the philosopher who's above everyone else. Right? On the other hand, the fact that we have so much access to wisdom, we think we can figure everything out. I once heard of Avram Short. Actually, twice I heard of Avram Short scream about that. The fact that now you can get access to everything, it ruins our emuna. The fact that we have expectations that you could, he says, the fact that you could track your package and know exactly where it is takes away your emuna. There's this control, this need to know everything. And that's very bad for us as Jews. Emuna, mitzvos, maisios, that's what we thrive on. La'avod Hashem al pi ha-Torah b'tmimus u'b'pshitus. Right? Val yedei z'ba'atma zochen l'mashe zochen. That's how we have success in this world. It's not about trying to understand everything. That never was the Jewish way. Again, we don't have to be ignorant and totally naive, but we have to have a certain wholesome simplicity that no matter what we discover, what we learn, there's always going to be more questions, there's always going to be unresolved things, and that's because we're not God. We can't think like God. So at the end of the day, what we see is that actually becoming a Tam and being a Pashat a Yid is not so Pashat. That's what Rabbi Nassan wrote in Likutei Halachos and Birchas Haperos, turning to page 2. Rabbi Nassan said, "Afal pi sheba emes ha'ikar hu pshitas hu tmimus." Sometimes people sometimes use the word a pashat a yid as like a derogatory term. There's nothing derogatory at all about that. That's one of the greatest praises someone can give you. He's a Pashut Yid, he's an Erlich Yid, he's a simple Jew. It's not so simple to be simple in our complicated world today. Rabbi Nassan says in Lakutei Halachos, where it's bolded, Aval zeh pshitas v'atmimas ba'atzmo. Lizchos lahachnis zos b'leiv b'nei adam, to be worthy of taking this teaching to heart. Hu amuk v'nifla ma'od. It's a very deep thing. Again, a shtickle ironic that being simple is so complicated. But it is. To be willing to let go of the wheel a little bit and let HaKadosh Baruch Hu drive is a big deal. And Rabbi Nassan himself felt that he was not able to master this teaching of his Rebbe. Shortly before Rabbi Nassan passed away, he gave a very deep sigh. When asked the reason for this, he replied, "It occurs to me that perhaps I have not properly fulfilled what Rabbi Nachman taught." The people standing around him were amazed. If not you, well, you were the Talmud Muvak, you were Rabbi Nachman's voice in the world. If not you, the other people said, then who can honestly say that he has fulfilled the Rebbe's teachings? As to fulfilling the Rebbe's advice, Rav Nassan answered, "I did what I could. The question is, have I fulfilled the teachings with the simplicity that the Rebbe demanded of us?" Right? Rabbi Nachman was a genius. Rabbi Nachman's Torah is of the genius type. And yet Rabbi Nachman still demanded maintaining a certain wholesomeness and a simplicity. People want to, you know, understand things in a deep way. I'm talking about even in a firm way. I want to understand the deeper kavanos, why we do certain things. Right? I mentioned we learned it on Sunday. Those were here on Sunday. We were learning that when you say Yud Kei Vav, when you say Hashem's name, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, there's a halacha what you're supposed to think. When you say Ado, when you pronounce God's name, you're supposed to think Hashem is Adon HaKol, the master of all. And you're also supposed to think, as the letters imply, Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey, Haya, Hoveviyeh. God was, God is, and God always will be. That's chapter 5 of the Code of Jewish Law, better known as the Shulchan Aruch. So someone wants to ask Rabbi Nachman, what's the kavana for saying God's name? So Rabbi Nachman could have said, open the Shulchan Aruch, let's read it together. Rabbi Nachman could have said, let's look in the writings of the Arizal and learn the deeper kavanos. But that's not what Rabbi Nachman said to this person. In the Chaim Oran, a biographical work about Rabbi Nachman, in source number 11, Echad Shalo So'al Inyan Mashanam B'Shulchan Aruch L'Chavin B'Shas Amiras Hashem. Someone was asking Rabbi Nachman, so I saw in the Shulchan Aruch you're supposed to have different kavanas, you say different names of God, you're supposed to meditate on different ideas. I'm talking about just basic Shulchan Aruch level kavanas. I'm not talking about Kabbalistic intentions on every letter and word. No, basic kavana that a Jew should have when he says Baruch Atah Hashem. So someone once asked Rabbi Nachman about that. And you know what Rabbi Nachman said to him? Hey, Shivla, we responded to him, where it's bolded in source 11, the first line. Umechoser lecha kipshuto got. What's wrong with the pashup shot, God? Why are you looking for fancy kavanas? Do you know how to say God? Does it send a shiver down your spine when you say God? Do you know what that word means, God? You know what you're saying? You know what the implications of God means to the life of a human being? You know God impacts the way you go on a job interview, and how God impacts the way you spend time with your girlfriend, and God impacts the way you eat your dinner, and God impacts the way you put your shoes on in the morning? Is that not enough to think about, says Rabbi Nachman? You need more? You need higher level kavanas? You should be shaking at the word God. You know what that means? That there's a creator of the universe who's staring at us right now, and watching our every move, and listening to our every word, and reading our every text? Every limb of my body should be shaking. Gam anochi shamati mimenu. I wanted Rabbi Nachman say. Gam came babes, Rav Nassan beuman, acher sudas arvis. Minish arti imo levado acher birchas vazan. I was sitting with Rabbi Nachman. It was after a festive gathering. VeYoshev b'shtiki. He sat there quietly, and then after a little bit of time, acher kach ana va'amar be'ema uveyira. Rabbi Nachman said with awe and trepidation, God. Scared to say the word. Scared to say God. Maybe that's our best word to say, nach. You can't say it right away. If you believe that your Rebbe is a tzaddik emes, you don't just throw his name around. To say it slow. And then you crank up the techno music and dance it out, you know? But first you have to say it, nach, nach, nach. I don't just say, got. You can't say God's name so quickly. And this is just a translation of God's name. He was like one who was shaking and trembling to try to get the word out, to say the whole name. He was only able to say half the word, he was so scared. And then eventually he got the word out, he said this was a sight to see, watching Rabbi Nachman sitting there quietly, contemplating the implications of the word God, until he was finally able to say it. Where it's bolded. Rabbi Nachman knew that you're supposed to also do what the Shulchan Aruch says. Rabbi Nachman says, before you go on to fancy kavanas, let's make sure we have the baseline kavana down. God, there's a Borei Olam. There's a God in the world. There's a Bono Shalom. There's an Abishter. These are big things. The E.F. Shari says, Letzayir Inyan Zebek Chsav, I can't really paint a picture for you what that moment was like. It's hard for me to put it into words. Hard for me to write down what that was like to watch Rabbi Nachman be'emes shake over the word God. It was a sight to see. So Rabbi Nachman says, before you get fancy with all sorts of... Now, it was confusing to be a Talmud Rabbi Nachman, because Rabbi Nachman was very smart. And he gave long, many hour long philosophical drushos. He gave over these long, complicated Torahs filled with ideas of Kabbalah and Bechinos. As Rabbi Nachman always does, this is a concept of this, and this is an expression of that. So one time Rabbi Nachman was speaking about Eretz Yisrael. He has a famous Torah about Eretz Yisrael. In the Chaim Oran, in source number 12, it says that Rabbi Nachman spoke about the Ma'ilas Eretz Yisrael. And he says where it's bolded, that Iker Nitzachon HaMelchama Kishazochon Levol Eretz Yisrael. To be successful in battle means to come to Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Nachman had a whole long Torah about that. And he said that a person who wants to be a Jew has to get to Eretz Yisrael. You're not a Jew until you get to Eretz Yisrael. You got a whole arichas about Eretz Yisrael. And deep Torahs about Eretz Yisrael and how it corresponds to different points on the beard and all sorts of Kabbalistic stuff. Says Rav Nassan, where it's bolded in source 12, three lines of the bold print. V'acher shegamar Torah acher kach be'es ha'sicha. So after Rabbeinu finished his long mimer, his deep Kabbalistic, complicated mimer, which we have that Torah. We have that Torah in Likutei Moran. After we finished this whole long Torah, we were talking, conversing. She'alti also, ma kavanoschem b'masha martim, she'eret Yisrael hi gedola kol kach, she'ze ikar nitzchon ha'milchama. Rabbi, can you clarify a little bit? What did you mean when you said Eretz Yisrael is so great that the primary victory is Eretz Yisrael? What did you mean by that? Right? What aspect were you talking about? What did you mean? What was Eretz Yisrael a code word for? Right? What was Eretz Yisrael a code word for? So Rabbi Nachman screamed there, Rabbi Nassan. V'gar bi yelled at me. V'ana v'amar kavanasi Eretz Yisrael azos bepshitos. What did I mean by Eretz Yisrael, the concept of Eretz Yisrael? I didn't mean anything about the concept of Eretz Yisrael. When I said Eretz Yisrael, I meant Eilu habatim v'hadiros. I was talking about apartments and buildings in Eretz Yisrael. I was talking about kids playing ball in the street in Eretz Yisrael. I was talking about people building buildings in Eretz Yisrael. Just living there. That's what I was talking about. I was talking about getting on a boat or a plane or whatever and going there. But Rebbe, you explained this whole concept of Eretz Yisrael. This concept. Or one of the strongest things I think I ever heard from Rav Weinberger. But you know, he was saying, people sometimes say about Hasidus that it's like fluffy ideas. You know? These fluffy, abstract ideas. And Weinberger said, these people will sometimes, you know, they want to give something more concrete to these ideas. They want to talk about these ideas in a more concrete way. So in Weinberger's classic way of saying, you know, so they'll make a Yom Iyun about Dveikut. Yeah? Spelled with a Q. Dveikut. They'll make a Yom Iyun about what it means to love God and to fear God. So Weinberger said, that is fluffy. Now, it might be intellectually more rigorous, but he said, what does dveikus mean? It means dveikus. That's not fluffy. That's emes. That's the pshat. What does it mean to love God? Let's have a whole day of exploration of what it means to love God. Let's make it as complicated as possible. Just read the Rambam, Hilchos Tshuva, about falling in love with a woman, which we read last Tuesday night, right? In Yoshu Devar Emes. where you become obsessed with this girl, you can't stop thinking about her. That's what it means to love God. Why are you making it so complicated? As if you don't know what it is. What does it mean to fear God? What does it mean to fear God? I don't know. What does it mean to fear a mouse running around your apartment when I lived in the apartments in Teaneck? When that mouse would pop out once in a while until we eventually got rid of him. Right? When that mouse, one time I was sitting at the dining room table late at night working on a shear and a mouse ran by and my heart was racing, I said, "No. Did you ever in your life race like this for Hashem? Ever? Ever? Once? This tiny little mouse? Your heart is pounding with fear and awe and trepidation. What is fear? What does it mean to fear God? You know what fear is. And you know what love is. And you know what dvekas is. It's fluffy to try to say fancy things about it. That's fluffy. Pashup shot. There's nothing fluffy about Chassidus. Chassidus is getting down to the core. Rabbi Nachman says, that's Pashup shot. What is this concept of Eretz Yisrael? It's not a concept. Eretz Yisrael is a place, go there and build yourself a house. And then you've won the battle. That's the Ikur Nitzachon. But Rabbeinu, you gave a whole Kabbalistic Torah explaining Eretz Yisrael as a... That's true, that's also true. But there has to be a baseline in our Avodas Hashem. And the baseline is, what is Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Yisrael. What's the kavanah for God? God. Think about that. There's plenty to think about. Just saying the word G-O-D. Let alone Aleph, Dalet, Nun, and Yod, or Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei. There's plenty to think about. So Rabbi Nachman says, and that's what Rabbi Nachman said on his deathbed. I don't know if I was Mekayim the simplicity of everything Rabbeinu wanted from us. Yes, Yehuda. All right, turn to the last page. Let's read a story, okay? Let's see if we know how to be simple. Okay? This is an experiment in simplicity. It's one of my favorite stories. There's a little Hebrew sefer called Biyom Shenolad HaBal Shem Tov Nisraf HaGehenim. On the day the Baal Shem Tov was born, Gehenim was burnt up. Okay, that's also a story. It's a little anthology of Hasidic tales by someone named Binyamin Shavili. I'm not even sure if he's an Orthodox Jew. It's a beautiful little Eretz Yisrael Dikko sefer that you can get in, you know, Stametsky or whatever. Okay, so here's the story. Great, great Sipurei Chassidus. Rav Shmuel Abba Mislavita. Rav Shmuel Abba of Slavita. Lived in the early 1800s. His damin pam el Rebbe Misadegura. He came to the Rebbe of Sadegura. Okay, the Rizhna, Rav Yisrael of Rizhin, had six children who became six branches of Chassidus. And one of them is Sadegura. So Sadegura Rebbe, the first Sadegura Rebbe, also lived in the early part of the... Lived from 1820 to 1883. Okay, so Rav Shmuel Abba of Slavita, which is in Ukraine, came to the Rebbe of Sadegura, which is also in Ukraine. And the Rebbe of Sadegura, following in the derech of Rav Yisrael of Rizhin, his father, right, the Rizhner lived in a palace. The Rizhner wanted to restore Malchus Yisrael. He wanted people to see Jews as the most chashuv people in the world. So he literally lived in a palace. The Rizhner had diamond-studded boots that they said that the Tsar in Russia was jealous of. Okay, and the Rebbe of Sadegura also had fancy taste in a very halig way, obviously. Ukidarko, and in his derech, he was mechabit him b'kofi, he gave him a cup of coffee, hanasun b'kli zahav, in a golden cup, the finest coffee and the finest kli. Fancy sheba fancy. Soch Rav Shmuel Abba of Slavita said, to the first Rebbe of Sadegura, I assume Rav Avram Yaakov Friedman was his name. The original family was Friedman. So he says to him, you know, this is good coffee. But pam achas shasisi coffee shetamo lo nishkach imenu arayo. It's a nice cup of coffee. You know, it'll probably remember it for the rest of the day. But I once drank a cup of coffee that I'll never forget. Where was that? Where was the best cup of coffee you ever had? And what made it the best cup of coffee that you ever had? It was before my chasana. Kishavi akala ba levakreinu v'amechutanim echlitu shechasalem shimush tamid chacham. My future father-in-law came to visit me, and in talking to my own father, feeling that they both wanted to do more in conversation, they said we don't do enough for tamich time in the presence of gedolim. So they took me along as a young chasan to get a bracha and to go visit a tzaddik. So where did we go? Echlitu lehevi osiel Rabbi Zusha. We went to Rabbi Zusha. I was a young chassan. Went to visit Rabbi Zusha. Kishiganu elav. When we came to Rabbi Zusha's house, if you can call it a house, Rabbi Zusha was an exceptionally poor person. Samach Rabbi Zusha lekras haorchim. Reb Zusha was so excited to see his beloved guests, Hachashuvim, Ubikesh Meharabanit Lachin Aburam coffee. And Reb Zusha said, let me put up a pot of coffee for you. Achlabayas Hayarak Sir Katan im Michse Visefal Echad. But Reb Zusha was so poor that all he had was one little seer, one small cooking, pot, right? Let's maybe call it a kettle. In michseh, with a little cover on top, right? To cover the pot, to cover the opening of the kettle. V'seifal echad, which could be like one mug, one cup. Or maybe even one like little plate. So ma'asu, nu? So how do you serve three guests with one cup? Nasnu la'avi b'seifel. He gave my father to drink from the cup, from the mug. He gave my future father-in-law b'michsa shalseir. He poured some of the coffee into the little cover. Poured some of the coffee into the cover to give my future father-in-law to drink. Va'anisha sisi me'asir. And he was mechabi me to drink right out of the kettle. Aches tamo shal ha'kofi lo shachachti ad achsha. But I'll never forget the taste of that coffee. No? Who wants to say pshat in this story? Best cup of coffee I ever had. I went to Reb Zusha. He didn't have golden goblets. He didn't even have regular cups. I was literally drinking out of the kettle. And it was the greatest coffee I ever had in my life. It's the greatest coffee I ever had in my life. You know the best bottle of Coke I ever had in my life? It was with the same person who taught me about this book. His name's Neil Bodner. Maybe you've heard of him. Yeah, Neil showed me this safer, and he actually showed me this story. And we went one time, we sat in the calf, and we drank, we shared a bottle of Coke, and we drank it out of the ketchup cups. We drank it out of little ketchup things, you know? And it was hilarious, and it was fun, and it was great, and it was so memorable. What's the point of this story? The point is, in life, we sometimes think, like, the fancy things and the big things, and that's going to be, like, the memorable things. And what Reb Zusha taught is if you do it with a smile, if you do it in a Reb Zusha dick way, betachlis hapshitos, where you literally don't even have the proper utensils to serve your guest, but your mamash, your whole heart is into it, with tamimus, wholesomeness, completeness, shalim, Yaakov each tam, shalim. So that's what, it's the little things in life, it's the simple things in life. So why do we always run for the big things in life? Why do we always pursue the complicated things in life? Why can't we appreciate the simple, wholesome, good moments of life? Why do we gloss over those sometimes and fail to appreciate them? Because when we do stop and think about them, they're the best moments. Rav Shmuel Abba Slavita wasn't being disrespectful to the Rebbe of Sadeh Gora. The Rebbe of Sadeh Gora had a derech that everything should be big and flashy. And that's a chashev derech. And what we're learning today is that sometimes it's the simple things that are the most exciting and the most memorable and the most enjoyable. It's mamish such a yesod. The Divrei Yecheskel, the Divrei Chaim's son, Rebbe of Shinov, he said, I want to teach three lessons. He said, lesson number one is that a simple Jew in his house is better than a tzaddik on the road. A simple Jew in his house is better than a tzaddik on the road. A simple tefillah, davened in solitude, is better than being the chazan, being a really good chazan with a good voice. And the simplest tefillah, give a little chizuk to the chaver here. The simplest tefillah, Divrei Yecheskel said, daven with a minion is better than the best tefillah you daven by yourself. Okay, three things. A simple Jew at home in his bias is better than the biggest tzaddik on the road. A tefillah, a simple tefillah daven, right, on the side is better than the finest chazan with the best voice. And the best tefillah daven in front of the amud. And the third thing that the Divrei Yecheskel said is that the simplest tefillah daven with a minion is better than the best tefillah daven by yourself. Okay, each one of them is something to think about, but the first one really struck me. A simple Jew at home is better than a tzaddik on the road. Why? Because again, when a Jew's in his home, when a person's in their bias, the person's grounded in their wholesome place. Right? There's no place like home. There's something wholesome about that. And being wholesome and being simple and being in the right place is really the ultimate expression of serving Hashem. Rav Soloveitchik was a pretty smart guy. We can agree. Everyone agrees. Anyone think otherwise? I don't think anyone's going to disagree. Rav Soloveitchik was a very smart person. Rav Soloveitchik was a genius. And Rav Soloveitchik had an awesome simplicity to him. And it came out in little spurts here and there. In his eulogy for Rav Chaim Heller, who was one of the Rav's Rebbeim when he was studying in university in Berlin, he gave a hesped for Rav Chaim Heller. And look what Rav Soloveitchik, the great genius Rav Soloveitchik, look what he had to say. The adult is too clever. Utility is his guiding light. The experience of God is not a business-like affair. Only the child can breach the boundaries that segregate the finite from the infinite. Only the child with his simple faith and fiery enthusiasm. Is there anything better than watching a little kid, you know, in like first grade, daven in the morning, singing the whole davening? Is there anything better than that? Do we imagine our best, most focused Shemona Esrei is better in the eyes of Hashem than that awesome simplicity, that simple faith and fiery enthusiasm of a child? Only a child can make the miraculous leap into the bosom of God. The giants of Torah, when it came to faith, became little children. The big tzaddikim knew, as they were big tzaddikim, to maintain what? Their simplicity. With all their ingenuousness, gracefulness, simplicity, their tremors of fear, the vivid sense of experience to which they are devoted, despite all of that, they were able to maintain what? This awesome, awesome simplicity. To be like a child, even when you become an adult, is an amazing thing. We'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow also. Says the Lubavitcher Rebbe in the famous calendar of Hayom Yom, for the 5th of Teves, when Mashiach comes, we will appreciate the distinctive quality of Hodah, i.e. acknowledgement of God and belief in Him, and Tmimus. When Mashiach comes, we'll appreciate Tmimus. Mashiach is going to come and he's going to take an interest in simple Jews. Artless sincerity. The pure faith with which all Jews believe in God, His Torah, and His mitzvahs. When it comes to study, even the highest levels of understanding have their limits. That's what we learned yesterday. In terms of the doing, in terms of understanding, we're limited. In terms of my ratzo, like we learned yesterday, in terms of my sincerity, in terms of my pshitus and my tmimus, there's no limitations on that. Hodah, by contrast, is a feeling that has no boundaries. The King Mashiach will endow us with an understanding of the superior worth as expressed in action of sincere, heartfelt, earnest, divine service. So I leave us with a Torah, which is a tefillah and a bracha. The Al Shech HaKadosh, going back to our pasuk in Shir HaShir. In the fifth parak, Tamasi, Hashem says, you're my wholesome one. Hatmima Shali, my beloved wholesome one. Says the Al Shech HaKadosh, you know how we express our tmimus? I'll tell you how we express our tmimus. We express our tmimus by what? By being really burnt out Jews at the end of time, after 2,000 years of galus, and still getting up in the morning without really understanding what it means to daven, and going to davening, and putting on our tefillin without really knowing what it means for a Jew to wear tefillin, and making brachos without even fully understanding what the words mean, and learning Torah, even when I don't really grasp the sugya entirely, even though I'm trying, right? And working on certain midos, even though I constantly stumble, or succumbing to temptations of the Yetzer Hara. There's a certain tamimus, a lack of sophistication that allows me to get up and try again. And to just do, to do what I can. Even though I'm really, really hurt by 2,000 years of galus. Individually and collectively, we're very hurt. Says the Al Shech HaKadosh, the Holy Al Shech, in the final source. Tamasi, what does it mean that Hashem says in Shir HaShirim, Samasi, you're my wholesome one. Sovelis galus. We've been through hell on earth. We've been through so much galus, so much Jewish suffering. Got a very strong glimpse of it very recently. V'yisurin, all sorts of hardship. And yet we accept all of that. We're so valid b'tmimus. We're still here, God. We still believe in you. We're college kids who could be on a college campus doing very different things right now. And you're choosing to be in Yeshiva University because you care about your neshama, you care about your Judaism. That's an awesome and wholesome decision that you've made. A tamimus halev, to accept the fact that despite we've never seen God, we've never heard God, we've never made contact with God in the way that we make contact with other human beings, we still believe in you. Beli be'ita. What does beli be'ita mean? Remember be'ita? I think it was one of our toldos, no? Yeah, without kicking. Was it one of ours? Revitza, be'ita? Kicking, no? Kicking. Without kicking. That means without rebelling. Pasuk says at the end of the Torah, V'yishamein yishuren v'yiv'ot. The Jewish people became fattened. We became gaivadik v'yiv'ot. We kicked at God. Kicking is interesting idea, kicking is what to talk about there. Right? But the pashup shot here is what? That we were willing to bear and we continue to bear all sorts of hardship And we don't rebel against Hashem. And we continue to cling to Hashem. That's the most tmimistic thing that we could possibly do. Amidst all of our questions, to be able to put them aside and get up in the morning and go to davening, it's gevaldik. That's Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Olam. That's every one of us. That's our legacy of the Avos. Okay, so Mirtz Hashem, we should... Two little lines of Sichas Aran, but plenty to think about. Okay, but try to absorb it in a simple way. Remember that Rabbi Nassan at the end of his life said, I'm not sure if I got all the wisdom of Rabbi Nachman, but I don't know if I got the simplicity. I don't know if I fulfilled things in a simple way. It's not about being ignorant, but it's about being wholesome and sincere and honest. And that's one of the best ways that you can serve Hashem.
Hashem is surely everywhere. Hashem is here. Hashem is surely everywhere. Up, up, down, down, right, left, and all around. Here and there and everywhere. That's where he can be found.
It's Tzvilus.
We want Mashiach now. We don't want no.
You're not the old Bavitcher to sing this song. If you're a Jew and you believe in Mashiach, so sing this song. That's Tzvimus. That's Peshitus. Be like a third grader. Or like a first grader. Alright, Tavra. A lot to absorb. A lot to absorb.